If you would please turn over to the book of Romans chapter 3. I'm going to speak to you in a topical fashion today, and the first passage I'm asking you to turn to is Romans chapter 3. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. It is a day of remembrance. And yes, we who have the privilege of liberty in this land of the free and the home of the brave should never forget that our freedom is not free. It cost the blood of countless numbers of soldiers who fought to procure our freedom, and the blood of those who fought to secure our freedom. We have liberty today because many gave the ultimate sacrifice that we might be free. And we still have that freedom, for yet others have given their lives to keep us free. These brave men and women should be kept in memoriam. And as often as we've seen the slogan, "Let us never forget," may it be that we never do. There are things to be remembered. And yet, may I say that there are things which ought not to be in our memories. And although this time of year has an emphasis upon remembrance, I would like to approach today's message in the antithesis. As much as there are things that we should never forget, there are things that we need to forget. It is therefore my objective to mention the need to remember, but then I shall pursue, and the most part of my message will encompass this, I'd like to pursue the necessity of forgetfulness. I want to speak to you today what I've entitled, Things to be Forgotten. May God bless His Word. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the day. Thank You for the privilege of being in Your house. And we ask You, Lord, to just meet every need. You know those who are sick and afflicted and could not be here today, that You would heal them and strengthen them. We pray for those who are providentially hindered, that You would help them. Those who are bereaved, that You would comfort them. And Lord, we pray for those who are here, that God, that You would just speak to our hearts, and if any's here that is lost, that You would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus that they might be saved even today. Help us, Lord, to remember things that need to be remembered. Help us to forget the things that need to be forgotten. And we pray that Your grace and mercy would rest upon us, that these things would be so. Just draw us to You and forgive us for our sins, and we just desire to worship You today and to honor You. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and it's for His sake. Amen. I want to talk to you today topically what I've entitled, Things to be Forgotten. But the first thing I want to mention simply and just as a way of reminder, I guess, that don't forget. There are things in a sense that we should never, ever forget. And what I've chosen to do is I'm going to give you some verse references and scriptures and about remembering some things. And I'm just going to read these to you. The first place I'd like for you to turn is Romans 3. So I want to give you some Jewish examples of where God had instructed the Jews, and we find in the Scripture that there are things that need to be kept in mind. I'm not saying for you today to just forget everything and wipe everything out of your brain. We want you to remember some things, but there are other things that you need to forget. But these things that you should not forget, as an example, as I mentioned, these Jewish examples. What about the Passover? Why did the Jews observe the Passover year after year after year? Exodus 12, verse 14 says, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." Always remember. Always keep it in mind what God did for you in Egypt and brought forth. It was the death of the firstborn, how He passed over you and brought you forth out of Egypt. The Passover is a memorial. There were brass plates that were made during the time after Korah's rebellion. The Scripture says in Numbers 16, "And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers wherewith they had offered burnt offerings, and they were made broad plates for a covering to the altar, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger which is not of the seed of Aaron come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses." So anytime they came anywhere near the altar, they saw them big brass plates. They would remember. Only certain people are allowed in of the seed of Aaron. And so there are things to keep in mind. You remember when the children of Israel when they crossed over from the wilderness wanderings into the land of Canaan, and they went across the River Jordan on dry ground, they were commanded to take 12 stones. Well, listen, Joshua chapter 4. Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. You remember the story in the New Testament where Mary anointed Jesus, and it was in preparation really for his burial, but she anointed him. The scripture says in Matthew 26, Jesus made the statement, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Things to be kept in mind. Now, other things in the scriptures that they should be kept in mind, not just for the Jews, but for us as well. What you've seen God do. Now, this is instruction to the Jews, but isn't it true for you and me? What you've seen God do, should you forget? Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9 says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from all from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Over in the Psalms it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. My friend, don't forget what God has done. You've seen him do great things. Never forget those things. Should you forget God's word? Psalm 19, verse 6 says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Proverbs 4 says in verse 5 and verse 6, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. My friend, you need to remember some things. And God's word and the wisdom of following God's word is something to keep in mind. Over in Hebrews, it says in chapter 13 that we ought to do good. Listen, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Another place, the scripture talks about the holiness of God. Psalm 30 says, sing unto the Lord, O ye his saints, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. We should never ever forget that God is holy. And the New Testament bears this out over in 1 Peter chapter 1, where it says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Remember that God is holy. And then one other example before we go on to the remainder of the message about things we need to forget. There are things to remember, aren't there? Things you need to keep in mind. What about the Lord's table? What does that do? As we observe the Lord's table, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writes and he says, for I have received of that of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this is the cup, is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft ye drink it in remembrance of me. Now, tomorrow's Memorial Day. You need to remember some things, don't you? And as we go through our life, there are things that we need to remember. But as I've already mentioned to you, there are things that we need to forget. And here's where I want to spend the remainder of the message, and this matter of forgetting. Over in Romans chapter 3, what I have there are three main categories I have about forgetting. And the first is this. The sins of the depraved man need to be forgotten. Now, I express it in this fashion. Look into Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Now we know verse 23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Turn, if you will, back to John chapter 3. What you've read there in Romans chapter 3 is a discussion of man. Man in and of himself is not good in and of himself. Man is a sinner. Man was born a sinner and he lives a sinner and he's going to die a sinner if God does not intervene. Man is depraved. Man is born with bent towards sin because he's born of Adam, you know. And when Adam sinned, he thrust the entire human race into sin. And as a result of that, everyone that comes from Adam are natural born sinners. And you know that if you've ever seen any babies anywhere, you've never had to teach your children to do wrong. They'll do it on their own. It's inbred in them. We're born that way. We are sinners by birth. We go forth from the womb speaking lies, the scripture says. Man is depraved. By the way, I just don't say that man is just a sinner because man is a sinner, but man is depraved throughout. I believe it even affects the will. It affects the choices which man makes. And so we're sinners. Now, John chapter 3 is further proof of this. Look into verse 19. John chapter 3, verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Men love darkness. Another place, Ephesians chapter 2. And of course, if you understand Paul's discussion here in the passage, he's speaking it about what they used to be. But we learn what they used to be by reading it. Ephesians chapter 2, notice verse 1. And you hath he quickened, or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past, this is what you used to be, before you were saved, before you were born again, before you're regenerated, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or our lifestyle. In times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. Do you see that? All these are to express unto us that, you know what, man is born depraved. Men are sinners, and the wages of sin is death. And so I want you to understand very clearly today, and I'm going to invite you to turn back to Isaiah chapter 55. But while you're turning back over there, I want you to understand very clearly that you're a sinner against God, and that you have nothing to offer God in the way of righteousness. Isaiah 64 says that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. In other words, you're not going to be able to approach God and say, God, you know what? I know I've sinned against you. I know I've transgressed your commandments. And I know I need forgiveness of these sins. Therefore, I'm going to offer up this sacrifice to you. Or I'm going to bring to you my own self-righteousness. Or I'm going to be religious. Or you have nothing to offer God. Because everything that's about you is tainted. It's already corrupted. We're sinners. We're depraved. Even to our very volition. We do what we do because that's what our heart tells us to do. And so we choose after who we are. Now I'm telling you, so what's the point of all this? I thought we were supposed to forget some things and all you're doing is reminding me of my depravity. Wasn't that the point if you're here today and you're not saved? You are depraved. You're under judgment. You're under wrath. You're under condemnation of God. And the only remedy for that is salvation through Jesus Christ by faith. And you don't have anything to offer God. You have no works, nothing to bring to Him. And you need to understand that very clear. But we who are saved, what's happened? We've been forgiven, haven't we? Haven't our sins been forgotten, as it were? Now, I'm going to direct that to you in just a moment. But notice what it says in Isaiah chapter 55 and in verse 7. The lost man, the depraved sinner, the one who is still lost, undone, out in sin, we read, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What's he saying? He's saying, sinner, repent. Sinner, believe on the Lord. Sinner, turn your back on that old way, on that old life, your depraved way of living. Turn from that. Now, isn't that true for every one of us who are saved? That's exactly what happened. At some point in our lives, and I don't know when you were saved, I was saved back in 1974. God came to me, convicted me of my sin, drew me to Jesus Christ, and gave me eternal life, and I was saved. And what was it? Well, it's a matter that I was lost, I was undone, and I knew I couldn't do anything about it, but I knew Jesus died for me. He was crucified, buried, and risen again, and I could have eternal life. And you know what I did? I repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ by His mercy and by His grace. And I was saved. I forgot some things, you see. I wanted to turn from my life. I wanted to turn from my way and wanted to turn to Jesus Christ. And we're told in this verse, and it follows up verse 6, it says, "Seek ye the Lord, wait when He may be found, and call ye upon Him while He is near." Sinner friend, today you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to seek after God. You need to call upon Him. You need to forget your old life. And you need to forsake your way, and you need to change your thoughts, and you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be saved. And so that's why I say unto you, there are things that need to be forgotten. Now, turn, if you will, back to chapter 38 of the book of Isaiah. And I said that our sins, in a sense, is forgotten. And I find this in Isaiah chapter 38. Notice verse 17. As the Lord speaks and He says, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but Thou hast in love to my soul delivered it. From the pit of corruption, for Thou hast cast all my sins behind Thy back." God will cast all your sins behind His back. I heard a preacher talk about that one time, how the description of God casting the sins behind the back was. And some kid asked this preacher and says, "Well, what if He turns around?" Well, that's a good question. If God puts all the sins behind His back, what if He turns around? Well, if He turns around, He still has a back, doesn't He? So even if God keep going around, He still has a back, and all the sins are still behind the back. Look over into chapter 43 of the book of Isaiah. Do you understand that as a sinner, lost and undone, you can be saved today and all your sins can be forgiven, forgotten? Isaiah 49, look at verse 43, verse 25. I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Aren't you glad for that, Christian? Aren't you glad to know that when you were lost and you were undone, that when God moved in your heart, convicted you of your sin, and drew you by the Holy Spirit, and you, by grace, through faith, embraced Jesus Christ, God forgot all your sins. Isn't that what He says? "I put all my sins behind your back, and I submit unto you today, dear sinner, that you need to have your sins forgotten." There are things that you want to forget. You want to forget about the past. You want to forget about that way of life. You want to be saved. You want to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and know Him. And God will forget your sins. He will remember them no more. I'm so glad He saved me. I'm so glad I have a home in heaven. And God will not remember those sins against me for judgment in hell at all. He has taken care of them through His own blood. What a joy. So I submit unto you that some of the things that need to be forgotten are the sins of the depraved man or the lost man. Secondly, the sins of a Christian man. Turn, if you would, to the book of Proverbs chapter 28. Why do I express it in this fashion? Because, well, every one of us understand that since we've been saved, we're not perfect. We still sin. We still make bad decisions. We still fall into sin. We're still corrupt. We know that we're like the Apostle Paul over in Romans chapter 7, that the things that we wouldn't do, those are the things that we do. And the things that we should do, we don't. And we struggle with the flesh. And so, well, I submit unto you, there are things that need to be forgotten. And one of them is the sins of a Christian man. So every one of us are here who are saved. The sins of the depraved man have been taken care of. God has put them behind His back and they're cast into the sea. He doesn't remember them anymore. But we're saved, and yet we sin, don't we? We fall short. All that we would not remember these. Now, we need to turn from our sin. We need to forget them. Proverbs 28, I've asked you to turn there. Look at verse 13. "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. It's the instruction given to those who believe. You need to forsake. You need to put it away. Don't cover it up. Don't cling on to it. Don't abide with it. Put it aside. And what do we read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All that we could forget our past sin. I know that you know that there are things in your life that you've seen and things that you've heard and things that you've read that you wish would never, ever come back into your brain, but you can't get rid of it. Perhaps there were things that were done in your youth and things in your early years or your 20s or whatever, and you've seen things and experienced things you wish you could put away. Don't you wish you could forget those things? The sins of a Christian, put them off, never to come into remembrance again. I'll tell you, my friend, some things need to be forgotten. Some things need to be remembered. But oh, that God would grant us the grace to forget the things that don't need to be there, the things that are not profitable, all that we might forget. Turn, if you would, to the book of Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Therefore, when you go through the Scriptures and you read in the New Testament about Christian living, Christian conduct, we're told to put off some things. And when I think about putting off some things and we read these verses, it's the term in the Greek is a matter of like taking off a garment, putting on a new garment. So you need to put off some things. And to me, that's the matter of forgetting. That's the matter of turning away from your sin. And so as a Christian, there are things that we need to put off, things that we need to forget. Romans chapter 13, look at verse 12. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Cast off the works of darkness. Christian, have you had trouble in your Christian life and your Christian walk about living in a fashion that, well, in a manner that you learned before you were saved? Don't you struggle with that? I mean, you were taught all your life about the world and the sin and how you act and how you react and how you treat people and all that. And then the Lord saves you and changes your heart, changes your life. And then all of a sudden you realize, you know what, all that past behavior wasn't right. Those weren't the way to make decisions. And that's not how to treat people. And that's not how to conduct business. But some of that's kind of hard to get rid of. You know why? It just sticks right up here in our brains. We need to put those things off. He says, cast off the works of darkness. Anything that's wrong, anything that's evil, anything that's of the world. And remember when we read in Ephesians chapter 2, well, we're made alive. We used to be dead in trespasses and sins. Now we're made alive. But we walked after the manner of this world and and we're by nature children of wrath even as others. And sometimes it's hard, isn't it, to do right? You know why? Because we can't forget. But we need to. We need to cast off. We need to put off the works of darkness. Go over a few more pages of the book of Ephesians chapter 4 if you would please. Not only should we as Christians put off the works of darkness, I believe we ought to forget the works of darkness. As you're turning over there, I'm reminded of an individual that I knew that when they went through high school were lost. And of course they lived their life as a lost person, and their perspective about high school and what was important was all from a lost person's view. And this person was saved later on in life and then had children. And as those children were coming through the high school, that parent was teaching those children from the very same principles that they had. Difference was, the parent wasn't a Christian in high school, but the kids were. And I mentioned it to this individual one time. I said, now listen. I said, don't you understand what you're doing here? You're teaching these children the values and principles of high school that you believed when you were in high school, but you were lost. They're not lost kids. These are saved kids. So what makes you think that they would have the same values and same precepts that you would? You don't want to instill those things in them. You've got to cast off the works of darkness. That's the idea, isn't it? And so what we find here, Ephesians chapter 4, I've asked you to turn over there. The scripture in this reference talks about the former conversation, that former lifestyle. It's hard sometimes to change, isn't it? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. He says that you put off concerning the former conversation, that's your former lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put off that which is wrong. Cast off the works of darkness. Put on the things of light. Put on holiness. Put on Jesus Christ. But in order to do that, we have to forget. We have to forget. You take somebody that before they're saved has a tendency to lie. And that's just part of their nature. That's what they developed in their life. So they grow. They just lie all the time. And then the Lord saves them. You know, it's difficult to tell the truth sometimes for someone like that. And what it is, it's just you need to put off. You need to cast off. You need to forget. And really, truly, I believe in the deepest, darkest recesses of our hearts, by the Holy Spirit of God who dwells in us, we would love to forget everything of the past. We would love to forget all the evil. We'd love to forget all the wrong. We just wish we could put it all out. You know, when you think about it, what a joy it is when we get to heaven, because he says all the former things are passed away and they'll never come into mind. You know, one day it'll be taken care of, but you know, while we're here in this world, we still have to struggle with it. So sinner friend, there are some things that need to be forgotten, and that's your sinful condition. You need to be saved. You need to trust Jesus Christ so that he can forget your sins. But then as Christians, we need to turn from our sin, and we need to put off the works of darkness. We need to cast off that former conversation. Turn, if you will, to the book of Colossians, just a few more pages over. Colossians chapter 3. Let's quit preaching and get to meddling here a little bit. No, let's get a little bit closer to home. Paul's a little bit more expressive in this passage in Colossians chapter 3. You know what we need to forget? In verse 8, "But now ye also put off all these." Put off all these. Forget them. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put off. Put off. It's hard though, isn't it? Because we just don't seem to forget very easy. That word anger speaks to me because all my life I've always been given to anger. That's just the way my disposition was. I remember my dad when I was a kid, he would look at me and he says, "You know, if somebody looked at you cross-eyed, you'd get angry." And that was probably true. Of course, I had three older siblings that picked on me and tortured me to death. And so that's probably where they probably generated that. No, I can't blame them. It's me. And, you know, I've had to deal with that through the years. And sometimes I'm very successful by God's grace. Other times I remember too much. And, you know, anger. Scripture says put off wrath. Put off anger. Put off filthy communication. All that we could forget. All that we could put it away. Let me read to you Proverbs chapter 17, verse 14. Here's an example. "The beginning of strife is as one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with." You know, once you pour out water, you can't get it back. And so it says here in the proverb, he says, "Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with." Forget it. Leave it alone. Forget. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, if you would, please. Forget. I guess one of the good things that's a benefit for my wife is my memory is not real sharp. I mean, it's not bad. There are a lot of things I remember, some things very clearly. Bad thing is, some of the things I remember, I wish I didn't remember. But you'll understand, you know, when I see something, go through something like that, I have a tendency just once it's finished, I just shove it on and go, I just move on. And so if we ever get in a discussion about anything in the past, you know, very rarely do I dredge things up from the past. Very rarely. You know why? I don't remember them. Which is probably pretty good to some degree. But there are certain things I remember and I always remember. Of course, we can't forget everything. That's just the way our head is. It's the way our heart is, but how we react to that. So I'm not talking about me and Laura. But you know, sometimes when spouses get in arguments, I mean, 35 years ago, they're bringing that stuff up. You thought it was settled, but it never was forgotten. You know what? You got to leave off the contention before it be meddled with. And I'll tell you, just a little bit of marriage counseling in there, toss in there. You know what? You can't, if you're having a discussion today, don't bring up something for 30 years ago. Well, you said this 15 years ago. Well, that was 15 years ago. We should have dealt with it then, not now. Don't be pulling out ammo and trying to shoot and trying to destroy. You need to step back and rethink your conversation. Now, I know you have to learn from the past. I mean, if somebody mistreats me, I'm going to keep that in mind because I don't want to get mistreated again. I understand that. But I know that I can't carry wrath and anger and all those kind of things and bitterness. You know, some people to this day are so bitter in their souls because they can't get by something that happened 50 years ago. My mother, bless her heart, and I love my mom. She's with Jesus now. She don't have to worry about these things anymore. But she had some rough things in her childhood and in her teenage years. And you know what? She never got by them. And as much as I talked to her and prayed with her and showed her scriptures, she never got by them. She couldn't let it go. She couldn't forget it. And you know what? There are some aspects of her adult life that she was just miserable because she could never put it away. Never put it away. Aren't there things that we need to forget? Things to put off? Put it behind us? It's over? Well, as Christians, we need to turn away from our sin. We need to put off some things. And I asked you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. The last item is this. We need to lay aside our sin. This is still the same idea. Just forget it. Hebrews 12, 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let's put it aside. Just forget it. By God's grace, can we forget? I know your problem is you remember too much, and so do I. All that we could forget. All that we could put it behind us. We need to put off, we need to forget the sins of a depraved man. We need to put off or forget the sins of a Christian man. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 22. The third point is we need to forget the things of the past. Let me spin it in this way. I divide it into two categories, failures and successes. Everything in our life can probably be grouped into those two areas, failures and successes. We've all experienced failures, we've all experienced successes. How are we going to deal with them? How is that going to affect us now? Now, in Luke chapter 22, you need to forget the things of the past. Luke chapter 22, verse 31, verse 32, I bring up the example of Peter. We know Peter denied the Lord. Went out and wept bitterly. Boy, that was a bad thing, wasn't it? That was a hard thing, deny the Lord. And that really struck his heart. And he responded to that. But before all that took place, Jesus spoke to him and he said this, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you and to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Notice, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. And he didn't say when you get saved. It's a matter of when you come back, when you get that thing right, strengthen the brethren. Where do you find Peter on the day of Pentecost? He's main speaker. Did Peter fail when he denied the Lord? He sure did. What was Peter to do? Oh, I failed. I denied the Lord. I quit. That's not what he was supposed to do. He says, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. That's exactly what he did. And Peter was the apostle to the Jews, greatly used of God. You say, what does that mean to me? What that means to you and what that means to me is the fact that, you know what, we fail in life. Have you ever denied the Lord? You ever turned down a witness? You ever have an opportunity to speak and you didn't do it? Does that mean we quit? Does that mean we throw in the towel? Does that mean, oh, well, I failed. Do you give up? You can't. You can't. Forget it. It's over. You can't change it. Strengthen the brethren now. Go on. In my experience in college, seminary, you know what, every now and then, you know, you don't do so well on a quiz or something. What do you do? Quit? Oh, I bombed that one. Well, no. Study, learn, grow. Don't let your failures stop you. Don't give up. Can't remember them. Got to forget them. Go forward. What if Peter always kept that in mind? And I know he would never forget the experience. But he didn't let that denial keep him from serving Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, I believe it was a motivation to him to keep him going. Last thing is this. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. But what about the successes? You know, and I say those failures because, while you're turning over to Philippians 3, I say the failures because we all make mistakes. We all make bad choices sometimes. The only thing you can do is fix it and get it right. Go on. Forget it. Like that commercial on TV about the dental stuff, you know, for your dentures. Fix it and forget it. Well, you know, fix a dent and walk off. Yeah, I guess it works. I don't know. I don't have dentures. Mine are true so far. But it's a matter of forgetting. You fail, go on. What about successes? Paul, Philippians chapter 3, says, verse 13, very common text. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What's he saying? Look back in verse 5. If he had a reason to boast after the flesh, he did. I mean, he wanted to talk about self-righteousness and living a life that God might accept. Paul had something to offer. And it said in chapter 3, verse 5, he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, he was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, he was blameless. But notice Paul's perspective. But what things were gained to me, verse 7, those I counted loss for Christ. Paul knew that that wasn't the righteousness which God desired or the righteousness which God would receive. And so he says, all those things that I've gathered, all those things that I've been able to achieve, I put them aside. I forget them. I count them but dung, he says in the passage. You know what he says? He says, I forget those things which are behind, and I press toward the mark. And I'll tell you, dear friend, you might have much success in your life. God's used you, and maybe in so many ways. And you go, well, I've been successful. Well, if you dwell on that, that could be a real problem. We need to forget. Forget those things which are behind and press toward the mark. But I achieve this, and I achieve that, and I achieve this. And you know what? I'm a pretty good person, and God will receive. You have to forget it. You have to forget it. Things that need to be forgotten are the sins of a depraved man, the sins of a Christian man, and the things of the past. They need to be forgotten. Let me close by saying this. As I have addressed you about things that need to be forgotten, may we never, ever forget our God. May we not forget who He is, what He's done for us. We must not forget. Must not. We must not forget the love of God and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for sinners. We dare not forget it. And we must never forget our Lord and the spiritual service which is due unto Him. We know we're saved. We know we're His. We need to follow Him and serve Him. We don't want to forget any of that, do we? But oh, my friend, on the other hand, as Christians, there are things that need to be forgotten. And may we ever press onward and upward. That's what Paul was saying. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark. And that mark, if you'll read the passage, talks about dealing with the matter of being living a life in conformance to Jesus Christ. May that be our goal as Christians. And let not sin pull us aside, or the former things, the former conversation. Let's not allow sin to take us over. Let us forget those things that we may be what Christ wants us to be. Things we need to remember, but there are things we need to forget. Things we need to put behind us. Failures, successes, whatever it is. It's time to go on. It's time to be what Jesus wants us to be. you need to forget it. And then finally, I speak unto you who are lost. The greatest need that you have is the need of forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. God said that He will cast your sins in the sea. He'll put them behind His back. He will remember them no more. You can be saved today. But the only way you can be saved is through Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. And He loved sinners, died for sinners, was buried, risen again. You can have eternal life. You can be saved today. But don't bring your own righteousness. Don't bring your own religion. You come to Jesus on His terms. You forget about your way, go His way. He'll save you, and He'll forget about your sin. He'll save you, wash you in the blood of Jesus Christ, and you'll be justified. You know that word justified? I've heard it said in this sense. It's just as if I'd never sinned. God wipes the slate clean. I don't understand how He does that and why He does that, but I'll tell you, it's because He loved me. He washed it away. He's forgotten my sins and He saved me. Sinner, you can be saved today. And God will forget your sin. But then you'll be a Christian and then you'll sin in this life and you'll still have to deal with that. More things to forget. But aren't there things to be forgotten? There are things to be remembered, yes. But there are things to be forgotten too. And may God grant us the grace to forget what needs to be forgotten and to remember that which needs to be remembered, so that we'll live for Him, love Him, and serve Him. And sinner, would you be saved today? I'd like for us to stand and sing. Brother Paul, would you please come? Appreciate your patience and kindness, and I pray that God's spoken to your heart, addressed some things to your soul. And if you're here and you're lost, oh, that you might be saved today. Now, we who are saved, God will work in us a forgetfulness of things that need to be forgotten. And only He can do it. Father, we thank You for Your goodness toward us. Thank You for the privilege of sharing Your Word. And I pray that You'd overcome my frailty of speech, my lack of eloquence. And I'm glad it's really not up to me, God, but it's up to You to take Your Word and by the power of Your Spirit to work it into the hearts of Your people. And so I pray that You'd do exactly that. That You would save the lost and strengthen the saved. Grant us the grace that we need to be who we need to be for You. And I pray, O God, that You'd cause us to forget those things which need to be forgotten and to remember those things which need to be remembered. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?